We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Where are we with litigation when it comes to this vaccine mandate? As far as I understand, there is a small group of people that have filed a lawsuit, of healthcare workers, that is, that filed a lawsuit that are seeking a religious exemption from this state mandate. Can you talk about that and what we can expect from that?
Sure. If you're talking about the case filed in Utica, the federal court there, that's in front of Judge Hurd. That case was filed specifically because of an objection on their part that the vaccine mandate did not allow for a religious exemption. So those particular healthcare workers indicated that because of that, their rights, their First Amendment rights, were violated, and that should not be allowed to take place. So Judge Hurd issued a TRO, a temporary restraining order, basically saying that until I've had a chance to look at this case more basically seriously with respect to your preliminary injunction request, I'm going to issue a temporary restraining order and prevent the state from not accepting a religious exemption request. So he's mandated that with respect to the vaccine health department order, that they must accept religious exemption requests and honor valid ones. That was originally going to be returned, I think, on the 26th, 27th of this month, but he extended the TRO through October 12th. So that TRO is in place. It's going to stay in place at least, up through October 12th. He's indicated he does not need oral argument. So he will render a decision, he said, before October 12th with respect to the request for what they call the preliminary injunction, which is something that would be in place if he granted it until the actual case was heard and the request for a permanent injunction that could be months away. So the preliminary injunction is what the judge is considering right now. He has the papers. The state filed their responses yesterday. And he will be rendering a decision, like I said, without oral argument, as to whether the state is going to be required to accept religious exemption applications. At this point, they tried to deny those by only indicating they'll accept medical exemptions only, and they denied the right for these workers to try to acquire a religious exemption.
Now, just to be clear, this temporary injunction would only apply to the plaintiffs in the case. It would not apply to all healthcare workers in the state, correct?
Well, I don't think so. This TRO, my understanding is that, and I did, it could go either way, but my understanding is that because of that, institutions like Collida, Catholic Health, they are, and it's my understanding, this is the way it's being perceived now, is that that applies to any healthcare worker that has an interest in applying for a religious exemption. I know that we are representing hundreds of healthcare workers, and they are all, part of what we're doing is providing them advice as to how they should go about applying for that religious exemption. I know that Collida sent to their workers a form that they would fill out indicating why they're entitled to a religious exemption. So my understanding is that's being applied across the state to all healthcare workers, the right to apply for a religious exemption.
Now, okay, so how does that go into effect with the Monday deadline then? So if anyone can apply for a religious exemption, they don't necessarily have to be a part of this case, then couldn't anyone theoretically just apply for a religious exemption and then be a part of this injunction?
Yeah, if you're entitled to one, but it's, they're not automatic. you have to, the law requires that you have a sincere belief as to why, if you were inoculated, it would violate that particular religious precept or belief that you have. So you have to be able to articulate it and indicate that I have such a sincere belief, and generally why you believe that the vaccine would violate whatever that particular religious precept is. So it's I'm not, my sense of it is that that would apply to a small minority of those that are seeking to keep their job. Now, maybe many others will try to apply for it, but it's not like it's something that gets automatically granted. It's an application you make. The employer can say no. It's not a, the criteria is simply that you have a sincere religious belief, and you have to be able to articulate it. I don't know how many of the, I have no way of knowing what percentage of workers that would apply to, but typically in the past, religious exemptions is a small minority.
Now, talk about the lawsuit that you guys are preparing to file.
Yeah, we'll be filing two with respect to the vaccine mandate. The first one we're going to try to file today if I can get to it. It's being drafted by a couple of attorneys now, continuing. We've been drafting it for the last probably month. It revolves around the fact that the vaccine mandate itself, this one, we're filing one in Albany County, was not adopted properly. They made, Governor Hochul told her former commissioner, Howard Zucker, who of course we know resigned today, that she was interested in imposing a vaccine mandate through the Department of Health. The Department of Health then declared an emergency situation, which then allowed them to avoid the State Administrative Procedures Act, SAPA, S-A-P-A. And by doing that, they immediately promulgated the vaccine mandate that applies across the board to the various affected workers, 450,000 workers across the state. A couple problems with it in our mind. One, it was done by the executive. It should be a law that's passed by the Senate and the Assembly. This is not a simple interpretation of a statute, which is what a regulation is supposed to do. They basically said to 450,000 workers, if you're not vaccinated by September 27th or October 4th, you're not going to have a job. That would normally require legislation. But they didn't do it that way. They did it as an executive order based on the fact that there's an emergency, when Governor Cuomo, before he resigned, indicated that the state of emergency in New York is over. It also makes sense, if you think there's an emergency, what's going on in the hospitals and what's going on with the deaths? Well, the hospital occupation rate is somewhere, with COVID patients, is somewhere between 5 and 6%. It's minuscule. And with respect to deaths, they're probably about 1/8 of what they were during the height of the pandemic, or less than that. So people are not dying at anything close to what would be considered an emergency, and people are not being hospitalized. And to the extent that people are being hospitalized, they're getting treatment that didn't exist when this thing started. So that's why very few people are dying. Plus, you have arguably 65 or 70% of the population that's got the vaccination, that if it does anything, it prevents people typically from having a serious, significant attack of the COVID virus. So one, they not legislation, it was just an emergency regulation. Two, there is no emergency. And three, they violated the manner in which they adopted it by not following the normal procedures. Normally, if they're going to issue a regulation, you have a hearing and you listen to both sides of the story as to why it should or shouldn't be done and all these kind of things. They avoided that too. This is, in my mind, it's something close to a pronouncement from the king, a dictatorial pronouncement saying to 450,000 workers that if you're not vaccinated by the 27th or the October 4th, you're fired. And no one person should have that authority, and that's what our objection is there. If that doesn't work, or even if it does, we're going in the federal court, and in federal court we are going to argue that regardless of the method of which they adapted it, even if it was done correctly, you cannot, in this situation here, without legislation and without some legitimate need that you can prove that a vaccination is necessary, require, in this case, 30 to 35% of the population of the state to get vaccinated when they don't want to. That at some point, individuals have a right to not be vaccinated. There are exceptions to that. The exception would be typically if people are familiar with this Jacobson case that they talk about all the time, 1905 or something like that, Supreme Court decision, it was a smallpox vaccine. It was passed by the legislature. It was a law in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and smallpox was much more deadly than this virus. And the Supreme Court in that instance said the $5 fine, the $5 criminal fine, is something we're going to uphold because they felt in that situation, given the severity of the disease and given the fact that the vaccine was familiar to people at that point, even though it was only 1905, that they were not going to stand in the way of that legislation. That's not what we have here. We have a vaccine that was pushed through within a period of about a year, year and a half under the emergency use authorization. So no one knows. Never the mRNA viruses or method has never been used before to produce a vaccine on human beings. And it's not all that effective. It looks like it's good for about 6 months before people are going to need booster shots. And if you saw the Duke University thing yesterday, it's going on all over the country. People that have the vaccine are still getting infected and are still passing it on to other people. If you compare that to natural immunity, it's the complete opposite. At this point, natural immunity, they don't know when it ends, but it's good for at least 10 months. They know that it typically prevents the person from getting infected, and you typically do not pass it on to anybody else. And most of these, or I'll say half of these healthcare workers in all likelihood, that don't want the vaccine have either had COVID and they know about it, and so they have natural immunity, or 40% of the population that gets it don't even know they have it, especially if that age bracket, and they've got natural immunity, and we're trying to establish a basis to show that they have the antibodies. And natural immunity, at the end of the day, is much better than the immunity you get through the either the Pfizer or the Moderna or the Johnson & Johnson vaccines.
And what kind of timeline are we looking at here? Because obviously this mandate goes into effect starting Monday. So what are you expecting an expedited process in the court system with your suit?
Yes, we're doing our best. I know that Todd Aldinger filed a claim yesterday or the day before on behalf of similarly situated healthcare workers. He hasn't got a date yet. We're trying to file today and hopefully try to get a hearing on a TRO basis, ask the judge for a TRO, what they did in the Northern District, the federal court, and try to get that tomorrow or perhaps Monday. But at this point, that's why the goal is to get this filed today. We're definitely asking for an expedited hearing in front of the judge.
All right. Is there, and specifically, how many people are you representing in this suit?
We think that we're probably in the range of 700 to 800 individuals.
And is that from across the state, or is that mostly Western New York?
It's across the state, but it's mostly Western New York, but it's in all regions of the state.
Okay.
And those are individuals that are not necessarily just limited to healthcare workers. Those are also workers whose private employers are trying to do the same thing.
Really? Okay, so you're actually kind of tackling a couple of issues just with this one suit.
We're trying to get the state mandate tossed. Yes, you know, I think a lot of the private employers are using that to jump onto that. But then in federal court, we will be going after the private employers more directly. That's why we also have a federal suit that we have to file.
Gotcha. And is there anything else that you would like to add about your suit or this whole mandate in general?
Now, Brandon, did you see what happened at Duke University yesterday?
I did not, actually.
Well, there's about they have a vaccine mandate there, and they test their students every week. And the last test came up with about 360 students, maybe 10 staff, that had the virus. As it turned out, all of them were vaccinated except for 8. So they had all these kids vaccinated. They run these tests, and you know, close to in that case, 95 to 198% were vaccinated. So the vaccination is not protecting people from getting infected, and it's also not protecting kids from passing it on to other human beings. So what they're doing there now is now they're going to try to make it, in my mind, they're making it worse by they're requiring kids to be wearing the face masks now. Again, those don't work, but that's a different story. So we're in quite a mess here. I think at the end of the day, the truth will come out. But there's a lot. These nurses and healthcare workers were 6 months, a year ago, were on the front lines, risking their lives at that point to take care of people, literally risking their lives, because everybody was afraid then that the personal protective equipment wasn't all that great. People were getting COVID left and right. People were dying, thousands. And these people went to work each day, and now they're being fired. And for not doing what is not necessary and which is not effective. And that's why this is kind of sad in terms of what this country's come to. These 30-35% are being basically castigated and made to look like they're selfish and they don't care about society when they're the ones that risk their lives.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.